Good morning. Oh, man, you can tell I haven't slept much this weekend. Good morning, Wendyville Bible Church. Will you please stand as we open our service and worship this morning? Better is one day in his courts. Let's sing.
Good morning and welcome and happy Mother's Day to all of our moms out there, our grandmoms, maybe some great grandmoms out there. And God has given you a beautiful day today. And so just praise God. Let's connect cards. They're right there in the seat in front of you. If you're visiting us for the first time, take a moment to fill that out. Let us know something about you, a little bit something about you. There's also other places on there. If you have any prayer requests, these will go to the prayer huddle, and these things will be prayed about. The pastors will see these. So just take a moment. If you, there should be a pen provided right there. Just take a moment to fill that out. As far as announcement, also our moms, I've been given a note here. The women's ministry team will be passing out a gift for you. So don't miss that opportunity. I think they'll probably be right out here after the service today for all of our moms today. And so with that, we have a special announcement. I'd like to call Connor up here for a moment.
All right, good morning, church, again. Believe it or not, VBS is just over a month away, June 19th, which is kind of crazy. So I have a handful of some quick-fire VBS announcements for you guys. Number one is this Saturday. You've probably seen this line. We're having our second work day. So we had a really successful work day about a month ago where we got a bunch of our set pieces cut out. Well, now we have all those cutouts that need to get painted. So this Saturday, we're having a work day starting at 9:30 a.m., anybody that can come, we'd really love to help. Even if you don't consider yourself a good painter, that's okay. I'm among those. I am horrible at painting. but we need a lot of help with the decorations. We're going to be painting a lot of those. So that's this Saturday at 9:30. Secondly, Memorial Day is only a couple of weeks away. And I don't know if you guys remember a couple of years ago, we walked in the Memorial Day parade to promote VBS. And we're going to do that again this year. So it's the Middleville Memorial Day parade. Pretty much all you need to do is just show up. We're not going to be having a big float or anything. We're just going to have a banner. We'll walk through it, and then we'll hand out candy and cards promoting VBS. So if you're interested in walking in the parade, you can either see me or Deb Wisniewski or Amy Johnson, and we'll get you written down to walk in the parade. And then following the work day on Saturday, on Sunday next week, the 21st, we're going to have a volunteer meeting after church. So anybody that's volunteering, if you've signed up for VBS, please plan on right after the church service. We'll meet probably in the Sunday school room over here. And we'll just kind of give you guys a rundown of what VBS is going to look like, what your roles are going to look like, and what you've been doing. So if you've signed up as a volunteer, please plan on a volunteer meeting next Sunday after church. And lastly, on the last day of VBS, on the 23rd, Friday, we're doing things a little bit different this year where we're going to have what we call a family night. So instead of having the parents just drop the kids off, we're inviting the families to actually stay for the last day of VBS, so they'll get to experience some of the music and the things that the kids have done. And then after that, we're going to be doing a meal for them. So because we're doing a meal, we do need some people to grill hot dogs, serve food, tents, set up, tear down, all that. And there's a sign-up sheet out on the kiosk for that night specifically. We're going to need some folks that if you can't help the rest of the week and there's only one night you could help, Friday night would be a great night because we're going to need a lot of folks to tear up and tear down. And I actually remember my last one. I caught Darlene's eye there. Throughout the week, if you guys have been involved in VBS, you know that the kids get snacks and there's a whole bunch of food that the ladies in the kitchen prepare. A lot of times those ladies get a lot of that food themselves and handle buying all that, and it's a lot of back and forth with it. So this year we actually have another sign-up sheet out there that has a list of all of the food items that we're going to need for the whole week. And if you guys could just sign up to buy 2 bags of Bugles chips, believe it or not, we only need 2 bags of Bugles chips for the whole week. So we have a sign-up sheet out in the kiosk as well for our food, and we'd appreciate your help with that too. So thanks. VBS time.
Thank you, Connor. Very important. Vacation Bible School. This is an opportunity to lead children to Jesus Christ. And so be thinking about all what Connor has shared with us here. Also, WBC Annual Cleanup Day, June the 3rd from 8 to 12 p.m. The guys get together out here and we clean the place up. And so the deacons will be getting together a list of items needed to be completed. There's a sign-up sheet in the kiosk in the lobby if you're able to help on this day. And please indicate if you want to work on projects indoors or outdoors. We will take any amount of time that you can give during this time period. So it's about cleaning up around the church. It always needs that. We do the same with our yards at home. So mission trip opportunity. Our first post-pandemic mission trip to Manitoulin Island in Ontario, Canada, to serve alongside their ministry to the Native community. Dates are Saturday, August 12th through Saturday, August the 19th. If you are interested in participating in this mission trip, sign up out here at the kiosk out here. If you need any more information about that, please talk to Pastor Jonathan or one of the pastors about that. So, also, sister to sister in prayer. Join other sisters in Christ for praying, for prayer requests, praise, and encouragement with a prayer partner. There's a sign up at the kiosk. Please sign up by May the 28th to receive your prayer partner on June 4th. And so, also, women's ministry, committee members are needed. The women's ministry is looking for a few ladies to help serve on this committee. If you're interested, see Nancy Tanner, Alicia DeCoux, Amy Johnson, or Barb Simons for any more information, or you may contact the office. And so there, I think we have all of our announcements this morning. If you would turn with me, our call to worship today is going to be found in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. I can't help but think about how fortunate I was having godly parents and having a godly mother. And so, starting in verse 20, chapter 6, verse 20 of Proverbs, it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." I'm also going to read 21. "Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck." And we just thank God for godly mothers. I had one that raised me up, who trained me up in righteousness and to love Jesus Christ. And I just thank God for godly moms out there this morning. So with that, let's go to prayer, shall we? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness in allowing us to gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. God, we especially thank you for godly mothers that you have raised up throughout the centuries who have ministered to their families in a great way. And Father, not only providing for their children, but also sharing their understanding of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you for them and just bless all of our moms today, we ask. And Father, as we come to you, we have some requests this morning. We do pray for Dave and Amanda Van Zant's little boy, especially for Amanda, who just recently went through surgery for a brain tumor. She's doing good, God, and we just praise you for that. And Father, this boy Eddie, who's only four, who is just having an awful time. He's autistic and unable to speak, and he's been having a lot of pain. And God, the doctors have found something that's promising, and God, we just praise you for that, so that we understand that he might be doing a little bit better. But just please, God, just speak and continue to be with this family. Give them strength, give them encouragement, and give this little boy healing, God, that it can come from you. So, Father, we just ask that. Father, we just thank you and praise you for our office team, for Darlene and Ashley, as they tirelessly do all of the things in this church that need to be done, just uncountable things that they do for us every week. They're just such a blessing to us. So, God, just be with them. Give them strength, encouragement, and just bless them, God, for all that they do for the pastors, for the deacons, and for everybody here at Whitneyville Bible Church. We just thank you so much for them. Father, we pray for Mission India. Father, this church that is based right here in Southwest Michigan, as they work to see India changed by the love of Christ Jesus, and to equip India's Christians to plant reproducing churches in this country. They've come under great persecution, God. And Father, we just pray that you would allow your word to be proclaimed throughout India. And Father, just raise up Christians in India. We pray for those who are leading it, who are brave, who have courageously gone to these people and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, just be with them. Father, we pray for all of our missions throughout the world. We have many that are tirelessly sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And, Father, we just pray that you would meet their needs, everything that they might need, and give them encouragement as well. We pray especially for our Mike and Lori Dean, who provide leadership at Camp Awakaya, as they prepare for the children that will be coming this summer. I just pray, God, that many children would come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. And Father, we just pray that you would give them leadership skills that they need, and the wherewithal that they need to continue with this very important ministry at Camp Awakaya. And Father, especially bless our family of the week, Aaron and Cassie Rademacher, their children, Hazel and Hendrick. Just be with them, God. And we just thank you so much that Aaron serves as a deacon, and his leadership skills and qualities here, God. And we just pray and we raise them up to you as well this morning. Just be with that family and our many families that we have here at Whitneyville Bible Church. Father, there's many others that are suffering from the infirmities of the body. We have cancer patients and people that are suffering from other ailments, our elderly. Father, we just raise all of them up to you. And there's probably many more that are close to our hearts. And God, you can see them as you look into our hearts, and we raise them up as well. Father, as we give back to you now a portion of that which you have so generously given to us, we just ask that you would bless it. And God, may we give back to you generously and abundantly as you have given to us, and with a willing heart. And Father, we just pray that you would multiply it and use it for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout our community and throughout the world. So God, we just ask your blessing on that. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our precious Savior. Amen.
Kathy, it's good to have you back from Florida. Is it? Yes. Will you please stand as we continue in worship this morning, praising our Lord. He's mighty to save.
Thank you.
Thank you for praising. Please be seated.
Well, let me add my word of greeting to each and every one of you here in the worship center today. Those of you who are watching by our live stream, welcome to worship and happy Mother's Day. I'd like to ask all of our moms, all of our grandmoms, all of our great-grandmoms to stand for just a second. I've asked some of our young ladies to come and help me give you just a little expression of love and joy. This is in addition to what our women's ministry is going to do. So these three lovely young ladies, all junior Vanna Whites, are going to come. So moms, if you would just stay standing for a moment, the girls are going to come and just give you a little expression of our love to each of you. Say, love you ladies, we're so proud of you all. Moms, you guys do such a great job. So much of the time, it's just thankless. And we just want you to know we love you and appreciate you so, so much. There's a way that we can say that to you all. Aren't you glad we have our moms here today? Why don't you guys give them a round of applause? Just say... All right. If you've got your flower, go ahead and be seated. If you haven't received your flower yet, one of your girls need to come up the middle aisle here. Very good. Izzy right over here, some ladies, you betcha. We need to get Helena a flower over here. There we go. All right, then, please thank our lovely ladies for their help with the flowers. All right. Very good. We're going to go ahead and let the boys and girls go to their time in God's Word, Bible Blast. And while they're doing that, let me draw your attention, everybody, to the latest edition of Voice. The IFCA magazine is here and available. I want to encourage you to grab this. The main theme of this particular issue says Biblical Inerrancy Under Attack. The idea of this particular edition is to challenge us to really understand how God's Word is flawless, inerrant, it's perfect, and I'd especially like to encourage the men who are part of our leadership training. You get out there ahead of everybody else and grab a copy. This fits so well with the conversations we've been having recently. Grab that. Also, a word of thank you to Pastor Dan for helping during Sunday school last week. While Sherry and I were away for the weekend, we were at a wedding, and then we visited on Sunday, we visited the Westchester Bible Church. Those of you who are longtime members of the IFCA will recognize the name of Westchester Bible Church, one of our strong churches over the years. And we were there visiting Pastor Bob Sheridan and his wife Adrian. They're interim pastors there trying to help that church transition into a new pastor. We had a great time with them. Also want to thank Pastor David Tanner for his ministry of the Word here in the worship service last week. It's good to know that everything's under good control when we're gone like that. Thank you so much. And then I want to draw your attention to the screens. You see up here on the screens, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Fred Mukumbu and the folks at Hallelujah Worship Ministry celebrated 18 years of ministry. And they had a wonderful, wonderful weekend of celebration, both in the morning on that Sunday and in the afternoon and evening that day. Just a great celebration. You see some of the pictures here of their worship service. Folks gathered together there. Great crowd, people. This is part of their worship team, Fred wanted me to know. These are some of the young people singing, and they did a skit and shared scripture and that kind of thing. There's Pastor Fred doing his thing in the pulpit. Yeah, there he is. And then later in the day, they had a celebration around food, and they had cake to celebrate the time. There you see that. And then you didn't know that I could be in two places at once, but it is possible. Fred wanted me to know that my greeting was actually shared. I sent him a video greeting to the church and prayed for them, and so that's that. And then here just some a couple other pictures of the folks there. Wasn't that great? Now, I wanted to share that with you. Pastor Fred and Rebecca are desiring to travel to the United States this August. And they're going to be here for several weeks. At the end of their trip, they would like to be here with us here at Whitneyville for several days. And the international costs to travel, for the two of them to travel from Kenya to the United States and then back, are right around $3,000, give or take. It might be a little bit more, might be a little bit less, depending on when we actually procure the tickets. So we're asking the Whitneyville Bible Church family if you would generously consider contributing to those costs. So if you give a gift toward that, just earmark it, Mukumbu's or Pastor Fred or something like that, and that way we'll be able to track that. But we'd like to really, over the next couple of weeks, make sure that we raise those funds so that we can help Pastor Fred and Rebecca come and visit. They're going to be visiting a total of six churches while they're here, all across the United States, and we're looking forward to them winding up their time with us. So, but we got to make sure we can do that. So if you can help with that, please do so. Just a couple of other things real quick. On the mission side of things, let me just mention to you, Mike Steele and I are going to be leaving Monday night. And we're going to be going over to Manitoulin Island. We'll be there for the day. Well, most of our travel will be on Tuesday, but we'll be there Wednesday, meeting with Bernie Prinzen and some of the men that lead the Daystar Native Outreach. We're going to be doing some strategic planning for that mission trip that'll be in August. If you have any interest in it at all, even if you just want to inquire about it or learn more about it, would you please let me know? Either you can use the Let's Connect card. There's a sign-up sheet out here in the lobby you can use to sign up your contact information there. Send us an email. But let us know your interest. We'd like to get the group ready for that trip as quickly as possible. All right. I think that's all the necessary announcements that I wanted to make today and just reminders of different things. So if you have your Bible, I'd like to ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. This is God's Word, Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with asphalt and pitch. She placed the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Then his sister stood at a distance in order to see what would happen to him. Pharaoh's daughter went down to bathe at the Nile while her servant girls walked along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds, sent her slave girl, took it, opened it, and saw him, the child. And there he was, a little boy crying. She felt sorry for him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew boys." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Should I go and call a Hebrew woman who is nursing to nurse the boy for you?" "Go," Pharaoh's daughter told her. So the girl went and called the boy's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay your wages." So the woman took the boy and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Let's pray together. So, our dear Heavenly Father, today as we come to this place, we come ready to interact with your word, your living word. Lord, we ask that through the power and authority of your word and that of the Holy Spirit, that you would guide us into truth and understanding, and that you would help us learn how to walk more faithfully and obediently with you. Lord, we give thanks for the godly mothers that we have had. We have a great reason to praise you for this precious gift. Lord, we thank you for the mothers who are here today in our worship service and those who are watching via our live stream. We thank you for them. Now, Heavenly Father, we recognize that not everybody has had a godly mother, and that there are those who come to a day like this and their hearts are sad because they did not have a godly mother. But Lord, may each and every one of us in this generation choose to be men and women of truth and righteousness and godliness and have an effect on the generations that come behind us. Help us to be found faithful. Especially today, we pray for our moms in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, happy Mother's Day, moms. I want to share with you briefly some things that my mom taught me. My mother taught me logic. She said, "If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me." As well as, if everyone else jumped off the cliff, would you do it too? My mother also taught me humor. When the lawnmower cuts off your foot, don't come running to me. My mother taught me genetics. She said, "You're just like your father." My mother taught me anticipation. "Just wait until your father gets home." My mother taught me about receiving. She said, "You are really going to get it when we get home." My mother taught me religion. Remember, she said, "You better pray. That comes out of the carpet." My mother taught me stamina. "You're going to sit there until all those peas are finished." And that's a true story right there. My mother taught me about the circle of life. "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." Yep. My mother also taught me justice. She said, "One day you will have kids and I hope that they turn out just like you. Then you're going to see what it was like. I can't wait." Now, I can neither confirm nor deny that any of my children were like that. I'll let my mother decide. Now, why don't you think a minute with me? Trying to write a job description for mother is nearly an impossible task. Bookkeeper, chauffeur, maid, nurse, seamstress, child psychologist, economist, and on it goes for moms. Just the other day, I came across some interesting information from Insure.com on their 2023 Mother's Day Index. Every year, they issue what they call the Mother's Day Index. They itemized a long list of jobs and responsibilities moms do, around 20 in all. And we all know, of course, that moms do many more than that. And then it estimated how many hours per week and how many weeks a year mom fulfilled each of those tasks. And then they assigned a competitive hourly wage for each of those duties. And then they prorated the amount paid for each task over the course of a year. By the way, here's an interesting little statistical FYI. This year's index showed a 5% increase over the previous year. So finally, they totaled all of the jobs up to determine her annual salary, and it came in here in 2023 at $126,000, $126,725. Guys, you're going to have some conversations today over dinner. And of course, we all know that that doesn't even come close to what moms are really worth. The truth of the matter is that moms honestly have a very tough go of it in today's world. Just take a look around and you're going to see that the modern woman is pressured to fulfill a whole variety of different roles. In the first place, many women are still expected to fill the role of the traditional wife and mother, even though they may not refer to it that way. They're still expected to fulfill what we call the traditional roles of wife and a mother, with all the other things that they're expected to be and do. This woman is expected to give top priority to her husband and to her children and to the home. In addition, the modern woman is expected to fulfill the role of the companion wife, we might call it. This woman is skilled, she's charming, she's well-read, she's proficient at golf and tennis, and able to entertain all of her extended family, both sides, her friends, and her husband's business associates, all at the drop of a hat. And not only that, but modern women are also expected to fulfill the role of the career wife. This woman is expected to share in the financial responsibilities of the family and the decision-making process, all on an equal basis with dad. She's involved in every aspect of the nuts and bolts of everyday living. Yes, modern women are pressured to fulfill all of these roles, and in some cases, even more. They're encouraged to be slim and beautiful, bright, outdoorsy, yet entertaining, all the while giving quality time to the hubby and the kids. This modern woman is misunderstood and misinterpreted by the media. She's slandered by the intelligentsia of our day. She's challenged by those of the same sex and often neglected and even abused by her own husband. Clearly, the modern woman is living a pressure-filled life. They're expected to be, well, Mrs. Incredible. So where is the modern woman to turn to find inspiration and encouragement, you might ask? I'm glad you asked that question. Indeed, is there anyone at any time in history that can provide any wisdom and advice about how to handle all that pressure and stress? There is. There is. Enter Jochebed, the lady that we just read about here, in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, the mother of Moses. As you read the beginning of the book of Exodus, you find out that the Pharaoh has done something very horrible. He's threatened by the number of the Jewish population. It's swelled. Some estimate that at the time of the Exodus, as many as 3 million people, 3 million people exited the land of Egypt. If that's true, you can see why maybe the Pharaoh was a little bit worried. So one of his solutions was population control by slaughtering Egypt, the Hebrew babies in Egypt. Now, as we examine Jochebed's life as a wife and mother, we're going to discover that moms can truly be incredible. In fact, that is the big idea of the message today. Moms can be incredible. Now, you saw in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, we just read it a little while ago. At the end of that verse, it says something really quite remarkable. When she saw that her son, Moses, was beautiful, she hid him. Now, we're going to see as we work through the text today that that was an incredible thing that she did. When Jochebed gave birth to Moses, you need to understand it was a very stressful time. Her people, the Hebrews, were enslaved in Egypt, and Pharaoh had ordered all newborn Hebrew males to be drowned in the Nile River. Genocide. There's no other word for it. That's exactly what it was. Yes, Jochebed knew pressure. She lived at a time in history when mere survival wasn't challenge enough. She also was enslaved, and now she's under orders to allow her son to be murdered, or at least taken from her arms and slaughtered by the Egyptians. How did she handle the stress? What can we learn from Jochebed? I believe that there are at least three critical lessons that we can all learn from Jochebed. I'm going to ask all of you to please listen. Please listen. Although this message is primarily aimed at our ladies, at our moms, these lessons are relevant and applicable to all of us. So let's all pay attention to the message today. Here's the first lesson that we can learn from this incredible woman, this incredible mom, Jochebed. Here's the first lesson. Incredible moms are women of conviction. Incredible moms are women of conviction. Now, when I use the word conviction, I mean the idea of faith. Faith. I'm speaking about her being a woman of faith and being faithful to the roles and tasks and duties assigned to her as a wife and mother under the authority of God. Her conviction is expressed to us in several ways. First, Jochebed had conviction about God. Jochebed had faith in God. When we look at the life of Jochebed, we see a woman and a mom who possessed great faith and was able to remain faithful. She had great faith in God, and that faith guided her choices and actions. That's the thing you need to notice. It says here in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, "Now a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman." That information is not just accidental. It's there for a particular reason. Both Amram and Jochebed, Moses' father and mother, were Levites. And this detail is mentioned to us so that you and I understand that Amram and Jochebed, they took their priestly reputation seriously. You recognize, of course, that the Levites were the priestly tribe of the nation of Israel, right? Priests serve as a bridge. They serve as a bridge between God on the one hand and the people. And that is exactly what this woman did for her baby. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, in fact, I'd like to encourage you to maybe stick your finger back there. We're going to be going back to this verse a couple of different times through the message. Hebrews 11, 23 says, By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents. So Hebrews 11, 23 is drawing our attention to the faith of Amram and Jochebed. It says that they hid Moses for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. You see, it was her faith in God that motivated her to hide and then provide for her baby boy. She trusted in God for help, for provision, and for life, even when all the circumstances around her looked bleak, to say the least. So Jochebed had conviction about God. She had faith in God. But not only that, Jochebed had conviction about her husband and her marriage. Jochebed and her husband were obviously on the same page. They're on the same page. She trusted in his leadership and she cooperated with it. That's implied here in the text. My friend Derek Johnson likes to put the relationship between husbands and wives in this context. He says, the wise mother lets the father wear the pants in the family. She just provides the suspenders. Both the ladies and the men need to pay attention to that one. Now, I cannot even imagine the compounded terror at home if Jochebed had wanted to save the life of her son and her husband did not. Or vice versa. What if Jochebed had said, no, I don't want to go through the hassle of trying to save his life. And the dad said, no, we've got to do everything we can to save his life. Can you imagine that such conflict would have been unbearable in the home? But both, being people of faith, allowed them to work together in the preservation of their son, baby Moses. So Jochebed had conviction about God. She had conviction about her relationship with her husband and her marriage. And Jochebed had conviction about her children. And obviously the focus here is on her attitude toward her son Moses. So in particular, we see that. But Jochebed had conviction about her children. And if you realize this, but there are three times in Scripture where we read about her conviction, about her deep faith regarding her son, baby Moses. We see it here in verse 2 of our text. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Jochebed's deep conviction and faith regarding her son caused her to take some drastic steps to preserve the life of her son. Over in the book of Acts, in the New Testament book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, verse 20, it says that Moses was born and he was beautiful in God's sight. He was cared for in his father's home for 3 months. Again, this incredible woman was willing to face off against Pharaoh and his wicked edict and guard and care for her son, even when it was against the law to do so. And again, Hebrews 11:23, it says, by faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. You notice that all three of these passages refer to Moses as being beautiful. Both the Hebrew and the Greek words that are used here describing Moses as beautiful means that he was favored or that he was exceptional. So even from the very beginning of his life, the Jochebed saw something unique and special about her son, Moses. I'm quite sure that she believed that each of her children was a gift from God, not a ward or responsibility of the state. Obviously not. But she especially recognized some quality and destiny in the little life of the baby Moses. And as they say in Moses' case, the rest is history. Her conviction about this little fellow made all the difference. There's an old Spanish proverb. It goes something like this. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Moms and dads, I certainly hope that you are not entrusting the spiritual, moral and character development of your kids to the pastors of this church. Don't get me wrong. We most assuredly want to stand alongside each of you and support you in the awesome work and privilege of teaching and encouraging your children along the way of wisdom and righteousness. But if you are depending on your pastors and the church to solely be caretakers of your children in this regard, you are going to be sorely disappointed as your children grow up. Worse yet, If you are hoping that somehow your kids will gain all the tools they need for life and godliness through government indoctrination poorly disguised as public education, you're in for an even bigger disappointment. If you haven't figured it out yet, government schools are coming after your kids, all right, but for nefarious reasons, not for their best interests and well-being, I assure you. Yes, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Bank on it. Recall reading some years ago now how back in the 1995 college football season, 6'2", 280-pound Clay Shiver, who played center for the Florida State Seminoles, was regarded as one of the best in the nation. In fact, one magazine wanted to name him to their preseason All-American football team. That was a problem, because the magazine was Playboy, and Clay Shiver was a dedicated Christian young man. Shiver and the team chaplain suspected that Playboy would select him, and so he had time to prepare his response. Shiver knew well what a boon this could be for his career. Being chosen for this All-American team meant that sports writers regarded him as the best in the nation at his position. Such publicity never hurts athletes who aspire to the pros and to million-dollar deals and contracts. But Shiver, he had higher values and priorities. When informed that Playboy had indeed made him their selection, Clay Shiver simply said, "No thanks." That's right. He flatly turned down the honor. Clay didn't want to embarrass his mother and grandmother by appearing in the magazine or give old high school friends an excuse to buy that issue, wrote one reporter. Shiver further explained by quoting Luke 12:48, the reason for his decision. "To whom much is given, of him much is required," Clay said. He went on to say, "I don't want to let anyone down, and number one on that list for me is God." So no matter how difficult and challenging your circumstances may become, let me encourage you to be faithful, Mom, to be a woman of conviction. Let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, where is your faith in God right now, Mom? God knows all that is going on in your life and in the life of your children. Are you growing in spirit and in truth and in your knowledge of who God is and what He has said and what He has done? If you are, you will be well equipped to face the task of motherhood. If not, the incredible job of raising your kids is going to be daunting. What's the quality of your relationship with your husband today? Just from your side of the relationship, not his. Are you willing to live in relationship to your husband in a mutuality of love and respect like God's word calls for in the home? If you're at odds with your man, I can guarantee that you will have some serious struggles with the kids. The best thing that we can do for our children as parents is to make sure our relationship with our spouse is healthy and good. And I just want to say right here, I recognize that some relationships are problematic, but again, I'm just saying from your side, ladies, how can you manage your relationship with your husband? Let me ask you this, who's in control of your relationship with your children? Really? Are you aware and in control of what's happening in their lives? What media are they taking in? Do you know? Who are their friends and associates? Do you know? Who's in charge of the content of their educational experience? Are you? Are you setting an example of faith and faithfulness to raise up leaders for the future? A mom of faith is an incredible woman. Here's a second lesson I'd like to take from the life of Jochebed. Incredible moms are not only women of conviction, incredible moms are women of creativity. Incredible moms are women of creativity. When Pharaoh ordered Hebrew male babies to be thrown into the Nile, Exodus 2 comes along and tells us that Jochebed creatively wove a little ark of reeds and then laid Moses in it. This creative and ingenious answer to Pharaoh's edict demonstrates some real, you know, out-of-the-box thinking on Jochebed's part. She refused to be blown here and there by the winds of circumstance, but instead found a way out of her difficulties. Her creativity gave her hope that something right and good would work out for her child. Her creativity even rubbed off on her daughter, Miriam. As Miriam followed the baby down the river, she also creatively and imaginatively came up with solutions aimed at the preservation of her brother. That smart thinking allowed Jochebed to not only preserve the life of her baby boy, but also allowed her to have important foundational influence on him during his formative years. Mothers write on the hearts of their children things the world will never erase. Mom, don't ever forget that. Mom, don't ever forget that. Count on it. You make a difference in the life of each of your children, no matter what the world has to say. Jochebed's creativity paid off in a big way. Literally. Did you see that? Not only did Jochebed preserve the life of her son, not only did she have an opportunity to influence him during his formative years, but she also got paid to do it. Did you see that? The text of Exodus 2 tells us that Pharaoh's princess paid Jochebed to nurse and care for her own infant son, Moses. Look at it. Right there, Exodus 2, verse 9, it says, "Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay you your wages.' So the woman took the boy and nursed him." Moms here in the worship center and watching via live stream saying, "How can I get a piece of that action?" Now, she didn't get paid $126,000 or $127,000 a year, I'm sure of that. But how cool is it that she was compensated for her conviction and creativity? I just love that part of the story. An overworked mother of three active young boys was playing in the yard with her boys one afternoon when her neighbor came to borrow some sugar. One of her boys aimed his play pistol at his mother and yelled, "Bang! You're dead!" So the mother, she acted the part perfectly. She took the shot and then she fell to the ground. And when she fell to the ground, she did not get up. Her neighbor waited for her to get up, but she did not get up. And so the concerned neighbor rushed over to see if she was hurt from her fall. As the neighbor bent over, the mother opened up one eye and whispered, "Shh, please don't give me away. This is the only chance I ever get to rest." Mom, face your stressful circumstances and challenges as a mom with creativity. Be imaginative. In fact, ask God to give you creative solutions to the problems that you may be facing with your children right now. Each phase of development with our kids brings a whole new set of challenges, all its own. Those of us who have already gone through raising our children can give testimony to that. You need to be positive, solution-oriented, creative, and imaginative each step of the way. I just want to mention this. I think it fits in the message. There's a great creative and imaginative and an innovative solution to childlessness. I know that on a day like today, there are some who desire to be a mom and can't be. But I want to encourage you to think about this. I want you to think about adoption. Adoption. Sherry and I are privileged to know a rather large number of moms and dads who have made adoption their creative solution to childlessness. Believe me when I say adoption, whether it's domestic or foreign or foster care that might lead to adoption, is an incredibly creative approach to children in the home. Creativity as a mom. The rewards are incredible. A mom of creativity is incredible. Credible moms are women of conviction. Credible moms are women of creativity. And third, incredible moms are women of courage. Incredible moms are women of courage. Look again at Jochebed's example. Notice that Jochebed had courage to defy Pharaoh. Jochebed had courage to defy Pharaoh. It's rather incredible when you realize that this model mom, Jochebed, could have been killed for her actions. If she had been found out, she would have been killed. Yet again, Hebrews 11:23 tells us that she never wavered. Hebrews 11:23, again, by faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. Why do you suppose that is? Well, we've already talked about it. She had faith in God. She feared God more than she feared Pharaoh. She courageously went forward at great personal risk and preserved her son's life. I want you to stop and think for a moment about what that meant for her, as opposed to all the other Hebrew women who simply just caved and gave in to Pharaoh's wicked and treacherous agenda. Think of some of the justifications and rationalizations that may have been expressed by some of the Hebrew women of the day. Some might have said something like this. You know, my life as a mother is more important than this little life, so I'll just let Pharaoh have his way, I guess. Others might have said, you know, this is not really a good time in my life for having children right now anyway, so I'll just let the baby die as a matter of convenience and necessity. Still other moms might have said, this is just a mass of tissue in my belly anyway. It's not even a human life yet, so I'll just save Pharaoh the trouble and abort it. We need more moms with courage like Jochebed today. That's what we need. Women who will stand against the forces of wickedness, evil, and unrighteousness in our day. Such courage, listen, such courage is the direct result of the previous two qualities we've seen in Jochebed. That is, her conviction and her creativity. Think about what Pharaoh is saying to moms today about their children. Your children? You must be mistaken. These are our children. The children, all children, belong to the state. You may give birth to them, but they are ours. The children belong to us. Here's what Pharaoh may be saying to moms today about their children. Education. You don't have any right or responsibility to determine the trajectory or content of the child's education. That is the sole responsibility of the state and trained and experienced educators. You don't know what's best for these kids. Pharaoh knows what's best for the kids. So please sit down and be quiet, or we'll find a way to silence you. What might Pharaoh be saying to mothers today about their children? God? There's no God. All of us here as the result of random, meaningless processes. Only the strong survive. If some have to be eliminated for the benefit of the whole, so be it. What might Pharaoh be saying to moms today about their children? Truth, righteousness, morality, those all come from oppressive hierarchical times and need to be rejected. We each declare and live our own truth. And by the way, what I really mean by that is that you all must declare and live by Pharaoh's truth. Got it? Got it. Good. What might Pharaoh be saying to moms about their children today? Those who never oppressed and suppressed anybody should pay reparations to those who have never been victims of such oppression and suppression. Don't be confused. That makes total sense. Well, okay, it doesn't make total sense. But that's the way it's going to be. What might Pharaoh be saying to moms about their children today? Those who are diligent, work hard, and learn to provide for themselves will have their resources taken and then distributed to those who don't have the gumption or the desire to get off the couch and work and care for themselves. That's only fair and equitable. Well, no, it really is. Come on, man. I'm not joking. What might Pharaoh be saying to moms about their children today? The two-gender binary model is passé. You can identify as any gender or sexual orientation you decide, despite the DNA and body parts you inherited at conception. In fact, if you as a biological boy think you're a girl, or if you as a biological girl think you're a boy, and maybe we shouldn't even use those words. Oh, dear. But, well, don't tell your parents. But let Pharaoh help you explore. Explore your so-called identity. Oh, and by the way, parents, if you interfere, you're violating the law. And the children will be taken from you, and you will be punished through fines and imprisonment. Pharaoh is coming for your kids. Mom, have the courage to say to Pharaoh, "No, I don't think so, Pharaoh. Not on my watch, not with my children." Jochebed had courage to defy Pharaoh, and it sure was a good thing she did. For him, Moses, for the nation of Israel, and even for us. Not only did Jochebed have courage to defy Pharaoh, Jochebed had courage to hand her son over to the princess of Egypt. Think about this. I can only imagine the courage that it took to hand over her son to Pharaoh's princess. To give your son away to someone else must take incredible courage. But each one of us as parents needs to remember the day is coming when we will need to hand over and let go of our children. Jochebed's turn came earlier in Moses' life than she would have ever preferred. But it was the day that was coming one way or the other. And when the time came, certainly sooner than any mother would ever have wanted, she faced it with great courage and dignity. It's a mother's privilege to have children. It's a mother's right to love them, and it's a mother's duty to let them go. Have them, love them, then let them go. The last, of course, is the hardest of all. Police don't know where Deborah Kemp found her courage and strength, but Deborah knows. She's a mom. 6-year-old Ashley was in the back seat, and Deborah wasn't going to let the man steal her car after she pumped gas and was on her way into the station to pay. The 34-year-old mother ran back to her car, grabbed hold, and was dragged on her knees for several blocks as she clung to the door and the steering wheel of the moving car. "I wasn't trying to be a hero," she said. "It was about my baby. That was part of me in that car." Deborah eventually pulled the suspect from the car. She beat him with an anti-theft club device while he cowered and apologized and begged her to stop. The driverless car went out of control and ended up smashing into a restaurant and broke a gas line at the restaurant. And that's when the child finally woke up. Deborah suffered only ripped pants and bloody knees. And thankfully, the child wasn't injured at all. The suspect, he can't walk. One leg's broken, the other one's fractured, and he also suffered some serious head injuries. Deborah Kemp is a mom of courage. She's an incredible mom. We need moms today to be women of courage when it comes to raising your children. Our society has progressed, I maybe should say regressed, to the point where it has turned family, parenting, and child-rearing principles on their head. If you haven't noticed, society is no friend of family God's way. We need moms who will forsake abortion, who will forsake the nanny state. Yes, we need moms to be women of courage. The next Moses might count on it. Hope you remember the big idea, moms, and everyone else. Moms can be incredible. Think about some women from history. And you might say, you know, mom, if you only knew, you know, what you were saying. Like Mrs. Wright, Orville and Wilbur, you'll never get that bicycle shop off the ground. Mrs. Fulton, Robert, what's got you all steamed up? Some of you younger people probably don't even know who Robert Fulton is. I digress. Mrs. Franklin, Ben, go fly a kite. Mrs. Morse, Sam, stop tapping your fingers on the table. You're driving me crazy. Mrs. Lindbergh, Charles, can't you do anything by yourself? Mrs. Armstrong, Neil has no more business taking flying lessons than the man in the moon. It is impossible. It is impossible to overestimate the importance of a mother on a child. Let me say to you, mom, when you spend night after night with that sick child and go on 3 or 4 hours of sleep, it is worth it. When you're having a tough time disciplining your son or your daughter, it is worth it. When you struggle to get your family up on Sunday morning to go to church, especially when you, like everyone else in the house, would prefer just to stay in bed, it is worth it. Yes, there is pressure, responsibility, and the high calling of being a godly mother. It's not for wimps. But mom, it is worth it. Because you may have another Moses in your lap. Like Jochebed, determined to be an incredible woman of conviction, creativity, and courage. Build into your child the kind of character and faith in God that will help your son or daughter make the right choices throughout his or her life. Let's pray. And so, our dear Father, today, as we read these words out of the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, it's so important to remember that this incredible man that is revered by the Jewish people, Moses, he would never have met the scene of human history if it wasn't for his mother and his father. But today we're particularly drawing our attention to Jochebed. An incredible woman, an incredible mom with an incredible sense of conviction, of faith in you and what you wanted her to be and do. With an incredible sense of creativity to deal with the situation she was faced with in a most unusual and creative way. And thank you for her example of courage. Oh, dear God, how we need women and men and young people and boys and girls that exemplify the courage of this woman. We're willing to defy ungodly men and women who would call us to do and be things that you would never want us to do, especially as it relates to our children. And help us have the insight to see that each one of these lives you've entrusted to us as parents are special gifts from you. Oh, yes, Lord, they're hard work. But it's all worth it if we follow you. I want to thank you, oh God, for giving us this wonderful story out of the book of Exodus to know and to read. It reminds us of how great you are and what you can do if we will walk in faith and obedience to you. We praise you, God. Oh, great God, we praise you. Amen. Let's stand and give him praise.
I hear the roar.
ready to go today, let me just remind you that get all those VBS sign-ups that Connor mentioned. Check those out before you go and leave the building today. If you're interested in the mission trip, make sure you let us know how we can contact you and bring you into that conversation. Ladies, the Sister-to-Sister Prayer Project is getting started. You can sign up for that. And then remember the Spring Cleanup Day on June 3rd. All those different things. As you go, here's a word to us to remind us about how we need to treat our moms today and every day. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Good word. Walk with the King. Be a blessing. Happy Mother's Day.